The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition of the podcast, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1pm with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell in the studio. The meetings are two jumpers to look forward to on Thursday afternoon. We have Doncaster and Huntingdon. Unfortunately, no racing from Taunton. That meeting abandoned due to a waterlogged course. And we also have evening racing on the Poly Track at Wolverhampton as well. We might, as a Brucey bonus, stick some of the action in from Maidan as well, because the World Cup Carnival continues over in Dubai, and that takes place on Thursday afternoon as well. So a good day of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. Plenty to talk about before we get stuck into Thursday's racing, Mick. And the headline story on Wednesday as we record this is that Ruby Walsh and Tidal Bay will be reunited in the Hennessy this weekend. So It's the first time in a long time that Paul Nicholls and Ruby Walsh will team up, and he gets on quite well with Tidal Bay, doesn't he, Ruby?
He certainly does, and of course, who can forget that day when Ruby won the Lexus chase on him? Never looked likely, did it? But Ruby got a real run out of him on the run in and got him up close home. But I do think that it's a good opportunity for First Lieutenant to get his season back on track, and I think we're in for a good race, but First Lieutenant, Tidal Bay, last instalment. I mean, Lyrian Legend not as much to find. Lord Windermere, if he fulfills expectations, could be a very good Hennessy.
It could, wouldn't it? Yeah, First Lieutenant, the 13-8 favourite at the time of recording. Tidal Bay 3-1, last instalment 4s, Lyrian Legend 5s, and 10-1 for Lord Windermere. And 11-1 barring those 5. At the moment, Mick, would you take a chance on Tidal Bay? Or
No.
You just mentioned there you think it's a good opportunity for First Lieutenant.
I love First Lieutenant, and I think this is a good opportunity for him to get cracking. He's had to I think they've got a free hand with him now, and I think that First Lieutenant can come into his own. I don't think he has to play second fiddle to likes of Sir Deschamps, etc. now, and he's establishing himself as, you know, a good horse in his own right, and his training can get on with him and train him like a go-kart horse.
Mm. Okay, then that's one of the races to look forward to this weekend. We also have the Betfair Hurdle, which takes place at Newbury on Saturday, and earlier in the week, Mick, we were talking about Alev, and you picked that one out at big odds, and his odds have tumbled. 16-1 now. He's halved in price since you put him up at the weekend.
Yeah, fortunately, I took my own advice and got a bit of that 33-1 available, Mark. So I'm quite pleased, actually, to see him shorten up. It means it's a buzzer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And good reports coming from John Joe's pounding, apparently.
Okay, yeah, that's good news. And so on the right lines, Mick, it's encouraging, isn't it?
Love the ground, won't he? And we know he's been a high-class horse in his time, and that run last time at Wincanton suggested he'd come back from that long absence with his ability intact.
Mm. At the moment, Irish Saint is the 11-2 favourite. Irving is 6s. Cheltenian 8-1 with Delarca. Rolling Star 8-1. Smashing 12s with Vendor. Melodic Rendezvous 14s.
He won't go, will he?
Nah, he's going to go the week later, isn't
he?
Take on Might and Isles.
Yeah.
Swing Bowler is also in there at 16s. That's one of the David Pipe runners. He's planning to send both Delarca and Swing Bowler to the race. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, though, Timmy Murphy's still out injured, so we won't see him on board.
It's going to struggle, Timmy, to get back for the festival, apparently.
Is he, yeah? Is that right? That's not good, is it?
Mm.
Swing Bowler was progressive last year, and do you think he can pick up where he left off?
Well, they're great ones for targeting these sort of races, aren't they? I'd be afraid of him if he did turn up fit to go.
Yeah, 333-day absence to overcome, but I suppose you're going to stick with Alivan, aren't you, at the moment?
Yeah, just hoping that he gets there in one piece and gives us a run for our money. That's all you can hope for, Mark, isn't it?
It is, yes. With regards to the Cheltenham Festival, then, a couple of stories with regards to that. I just noticed now that Dodging Bullets is going to be aimed at Newbury at the weekend as well. He's currently second favourite for the Arkle, so he bids to, I think it's four, it'll make it 4-4 over fences if he wins on Saturday.
Yeah, I always like Dodging Bullets, and I think he's been an underrated horse, and I think he's going to take some beating in the Arkle. I think he's a smasher. I mean, something, wouldn't it, for Frankie Dettori to breed an Arkle winner, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it, yes. Ivan Grozny is currently the favourite for the Triumph Hurdle.
Yeah, we're going to see him put to the test again this weekend, aren't we?
Yeah, he takes on Plinth for Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah, there wasn't much between them the last day, was there? And I think it's going to be a good race between them again. And, you know, the pecking order in the four-year-olds is sort of taking shape now, isn't it?
Yeah. The Triumph is a race that's relatively wide open at the moment as well, isn't it? So
yeah, but the principles are sort of there now. It's the top six-ish. The winner's going to come from one of those. Our best hope is going to be Broughton, I think.
Yeah.
And whatever they send from Ireland. So I think it's taking shape, Mark.
Okay. And one horse we will not see at the Cheltenham Festival this year is a horse that's won there the last 2 years. Salsify will miss the Fox Hunters.
Yeah, Jewel Fox Hunters went a bit lucky to win it last year, but that wasn't his fault, and it's a great shame. He was due to run in Sunday's Hunters Chase at the Leopardstown meeting. But he's banged a joint, and he's going to miss Cheltenham, and they're going to try and get him back for Punchestown.
Yep. Okay, anything else caught your eye, Mick, or shall we move on to Thursday's racing?
Yeah, just Mick Shannon making good noises about his jumpers. Horse I do like is the horse Sergeant Reckless, who goes for the Supreme Notices, and although I do like the Willie Mullins horse for that. I think that Sergeant Reckless, he might be buying pro market place horse for it, Mark.
Yeah.
I think he'd be galloping on when plenty have had enough.
Yeah. Okay. Thursday then. Let's move on to that. We've got two jumpers to look forward to on Thursday. We're going to focus on the meeting at Doncaster. I always like jumping at Doncaster. Mick,
yeah, I did start to look at the meeting at Wolverhampton, but broke down in tears at the banality of it all. So I waited for the decks to come through from Doncaster.
Yeah. Hopefully worth the wait though, mate, because some of the races there are pretty good. I mean, the first race isn't necessarily the most competitive. We've got Mr. Mole and Rock and Ruby at the moment. And
even though there's only two in that, apparently the trainer, Harry Fry, is saying if they get more than 5 mil of rain, he's not running. I mean, what are these people on? I just cannot believe it. Two runners, what perfect prep race for Doncaster. Never gets bottomless ground anyway.
No.
It has to have an absolute deluge on the day for it to get even what we would even go there as heavy. It's one of the best drained courses in the country.
Yeah, and if he's serious about sending him to the Arkle, he needs runs under his belt, doesn't he?
Of course he does. Well, and what perfect better opportunity there to have a spin round, earn some prize money, get his competitive juices flowing, and so I suppose if we have 6 mils of rain, he isn't going to run more than five, and I'm not going to run. Beats me hands down. Quite incredible.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see him in action, because it would be just a perfect spin round, wouldn't it? Just even if there is only two runners, even if you finish second, it doesn't dent his chances, does it?
No, Noel's going to sort of look after him, do the right thing by him. What have they got to worry about?
Anyway, let's move on to something more competitive anyway, because there are a few good races to look forward to at Doncaster. And the first one that Mick's picked out is the 3 o'clock, which is a Class 3 handicap chase of 3 miles. And you could state a case for a few of these, Mick.
Yeah, they could if one or two of them will have to bounce back to something like their best if they are going to take a hand. We'll start with the top weight, Knock a Hand, who is trained by Richard Lee, Jimmy Moore, taking the ride for the first time. He does ride a lot for Richard, Jamie, but this is the first time he's ridden Knock a Hand. He put a disappointing display in the Welsh National, where he was quietly fancied somewhat behind him, if you like, with a completion, I suppose, is the best way of describing it, if outclassed behind Tucking to Searle at Haydock. It was an absolute shoe in that day, didn't it? Yeah. I think the object of the exercise was to, you know, get some confidence back into him after being pulled up at Chepstow. And he is back to a winning mark, which augurs well for his chances. I know he's got the steadier of 11 stone 12, but he's not out of this Knock a Hand by any means. Harry the Viking's an interesting runner. Paul Nicholls sent him up, of course, owned by Sir Alex Ferguson. hasn't shown much since, and that's putting it mildly, since finishing second of 19 behind T for 3 at the festival last year in the Form Island National Hunt Chase. And as a result, he's got back down to his last winning mark, and he has got course and distance winning form. Mm. So if he bounced back to anything like, and if there was market confidence, et cetera, I could see him taking a hand. But the one I like is Phil the Power, who was coming back from a long absence when we saw him 19 days ago. I think it was at Weatherby Mark, and I think he'd be all the better for that. No, it was Haydock, wasn't it? Not Weatherby. In the race won by Benvolio, that's right.
Yep.
It was Haydock. And he should be all the better for that reappearance. And he did finish second over course and distance here in December 2012 with a mark of 130, and he can race off 127 on Thursday. The stables runners often come on for their first run of the season, as Phil the Power did last year. After his initial run, he went very close. I think he finished second, but he only just beaten. So he did come on for his first run.
Yep.
And I think he showed enough at Haydock in this quite a few sort of having to raise the game slightly. We know he's a decent horse, handles the track, can handle this mark. With that run under his belt, he's going to be very hard to beat.
Okay, Phil the Power then in the 3 o'clock at Doncaster. Moving on to the next race, which is the 3:35, and this is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 3 miles as well. And top billing could be quite interesting here, Mick, after a relatively comfortable win over course and distance last time.
Yeah, the only slight concern is the mark, isn't it? It's now gone up to
105.
He went up £16, which it is a lot, but he was impressive, and he just did look like a stayer on the up. And I think it's a good move by Nicky Richards. He's upped him in grade to class three, and that means, although he's up in grade, he's got no weight to carry. It's not as if he's got 12 stone whatever with his new mark.
Yeah.
He's still only got 10 stone three, most of it Dennis O'Regan.
Yeah.
So I definitely think he's a player, and I think he's done exactly the right thing, Nicky. I mean, this horse is just, the further he's gone, the better he's got. And I'm sure that's going to be his game. Nicky Henderson runs 1 Connemara. I'm sure this will take a chunk out of the market with Geraghty on board. But he's a very hard horse to evaluate. The bare bones of his form suggest that this mark is stiff enough for him. He was probably beaten when unseating 3 out at Cheltenham last time off of this mark. And I just still think, I don't know whether he wants help from the handicap or maybe over fences or what, but he's been a little bit disappointing of late. And Nicky also runs Streams of Whiskey. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if Nicky had the 1-2 here, because Streams of Whiskey would have won his last, well, he would have won one of them and would have definitely finished second, if not better, in the other one. On his last 2 chasing efforts, but for falling. But sadly for him, he's taken his chasing mark with him back to hurdling. His earlier hurdling mark was quite low, but the handicapper seems to have eased his hurdle mark up to his chasing. But even so, I think with the form he's in, he's going to be a player. And it wouldn't be at all surprising to me to see Nicky's pair fight it out.
Okay, Nicky Richards, that is, not Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, Nicky Richards. Yeah, all the Nickys.
All the Nickys, yeah. We've got a Nicky 1-2-3.
Yeah.
But top billing is the preference.
Top billing, yeah, I think good move. Put him up 2 grades, and so he's still got him with 10 stone 3.
Okay, good stuff. The 4:10 is the final race we're going to look at. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. So talk us through your thoughts here, Mick.
Yeah, well, I think we can take out Clondor Knight because he's declared to run at Carlisle on Wednesday. I think they probably declared him for Doncaster in case Carlisle was lost to the weather with the forecast. It was all doom and gloom, wasn't it? So he won't go, but we'll still have the dead 8.
I think Elenica might be the same as that, Mick, as well. I think that's running today, on Wednesday.
I think you're right, yes.
Yeah, in the 2:40 at Ludlow on Wednesday. So
Ludlow, so we're going to be down to 7. Now, my idea of the winner here is King Spirit. Brendan Power rides for Brendan Senior. Only 2 starts over fences, but he's shown a really good aptitude and attitude in both of those starts. A very likeable horse. And with the race likely to be sort of slightly easy by the defection of Elenika and Clondor Knight. He's got hardly any question marks over him. He looks the least complicated of what's left, if you like. And I do like the way he goes about his business. And I'm going to give the vote to King Spirit. Thunderstorm will be popular because he's got AP on board for Philip Hobbs, but he's been beaten a long way in his last three, and his best form is all going the other way around, right-handed. So he, I suppose, is a rival, as is probably Old Crick if he came back to his best. Right down at the bottom is Billy Cuckoo, who's been running fairly consistently at a slightly lower level, but at least he does come here in decent form. And if anything goes awry with King Spirit, he could well cash in with his current vein of form. Quite a few of these coming into it under a bit of a cloud, Mark, but yeah. King Spirit certainly isn't.
Okay. King Spirit in the lucky last, then, that we preview the 4:10. Let's just have a quick summary, Mick, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Yeah, the 3 o'clock, I'm looking to fill the power to show the benefit of his spin at Haydock 19 days ago. And the 3:35 top billing to defy the handicap. A good move by Nicky Richards to put him up a couple of grades. And but he's got in at the bottom of the handicap, and he's not facing that stiff an opposition, I don't think. And in the 4:10, King Spirit for Brendan Powell, with Brendan Powell Jr. on board to confirm the good impression he'd made on his 2 starts over fences to date.
OK, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Enjoy on Thursday.
OK, well done, Mark. Thank you.
There you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on Thursday's racing at Doncaster. Then you'll hear the action from there and Huntingdon in the afternoon. And we'll finish the day with all-weather racing at Wolverhampton. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Gary Capewell in the studio. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.